I moved one of those mics over here, so.
Okay. I'm doing this as a formal meeting. Is that right, Scott? This is a formal meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
All right, so I'll call us to order in our role as Grandy's District Trustees. Scott, talk us through while we're here.
Since we received home from the ranch on this facility, he's expressed concerns that the DOT project to widen Interstate 35 over the Skunk River will impact the farmland and drainage district Grant 13. That's something they want to do could cause water to back up on the volume of heat farms most of the Skunk River east of the interstate.
Okay, and so that we're clear, Drainage District 13, a couple years ago, we took action severing the part of Drainage District 13 that lies to the west of I-35, and it is no longer part of this district.
Correct.
So basically, from the interstate to the eastern boundaries of Drainage District 13 is what we're talking about.
Yes.
And with that, Bruce, take us through.
Okay. I manage our family farms, of which four of them are, been concerned here with the Interstate 35 widening. And, you know, over the past 11 years, I think it's got flooded like eight times, you know. And this year, there was one occasion at the very end of August, which, again, produced over the surface water, you know, flow from the top. Top of the ground. And so we've been working with the DOT trying to get an agreement put together with the Interstate 35 that's, you know, widening. And quite frankly, what my concerns are is, you know, I brought some maps here that show our properties. So right here would be the, there's our west of the interstate east, and then we've got a 40 acres up here.
So this piece here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is where the dike is that you're concerned about.
Yeah, there's a dike here, and actually it's diked all the way along on both sides of the river. So as you go all the way down, at least through the end of our property, which we've got, this is approximately, that's a 40, that's 65 acres or so, about 15 in here total, and this is approximately 200 on clear the east. And this is my concern, the far east piece.
So this one here?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this, I say this map probably shows it the best of anyone. And so this thing's diked all the way down. And it has been forever. I think my dad bought this approximately 2002, 2003. And so when you go down here, like this year was a perfect example. Three times this year we had massive rains and increased the river height. Nothing went out. End of August we got the big one, and that's when it started flooding up, you know, from the north, and it comes across. You know, it just comes across right here, and then this will also flood out here. So that's something that, you know, really can't be prevented unless the water would get taken care of North Ames, which has been probably enough discussion on that already. But what has happened is there is an area specific to this drainage district right here, or this drainage ditch, that the water did go out on. And so with this whole project in mind, from what I've read anyway, these two west pieces technically should be better. Or they aren't going to be any worse. This piece here, this 10, now this is for farm service map. It's probably about 15 acres. This will be a complete disaster.
Okay.
This is like, it's gone. And then what my worry is getting more flooding here, okay, on this piece to the east. And that's 200 acres. That's a lot of land that really can be impacted. Now, I do not have any of the surveying or the heights or anything. I can only go by with what I've talked with our tenant about and, you know, historical things. Mm-hmm. And I took a picture here, and this would be this right here. There's some leakage right here. It's a couple years ago you guys went through and cleaned out all the trees and everything because we were getting assessed on it now, and that was a very good project. And so the way I look at this is if they're going to reroute some of this water into these square tubes or whatever, cement tubes, and change the current flow of the water from the of this county bridge right here. They'll shoot it underneath here, underneath Interstate, shoot it back down here, and then the only time this is going to come into play is when we have massive rains. Let's say we have one like we did now, or when was that? 5-6 years ago? Or
2010,
yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you have a big watershed area, you know, from this drainage ditch from the north. That's a pretty big watershed area. That could fill up, and then, of course, when the river comes up, that's when, you know, it's going to back up. And so what it can do, it can put some, they'll put undue pressure in, and this thing's going to blow out. And then I got 200 acres underwater. Right now when we get the rains, yeah, some of this gets it. This isn't our piece, but, excuse me. Yeah, that isn't our piece, but that usually kind of somewhat can stay dry. But you get this water here, this water here. If this acts as like an embankment or, you know, or a dike, then that'll certainly help. But I believe there's been measures taken to increase, you know, this ditch height. This ditch needs to be increased too.
So the concern is this drainage district ditch right here.
Yes.
You're just worried that we're putting water across here that doesn't exist today.
Well, that will be true because of going, you know, that's the only reason you have water going from here to here. But if this breaks out in here, and I say there is a weak spot in here that it has broken out, you can see this in this map. You know, if this is built up exactly like a big old dike, then everything gets shot down here. Mm-hmm. That'd work.
Okay, what does that do to the other surrounding areas as far as the water backing up or the flow of the water there?
What?
If you know, I mean, the dike is there to channel water, keep water from going a certain direction. Okay, so it means it goes someplace. So what have you anticipated where that may go if that happens? And what could be impacted by that?
Yeah, let's say...
Just for clarification, we don't have any dikes. We did some research on that. This is just spoiled dirt from cleaning out the ditch.
Okay.
Now, this is not a... As far as I'm concerned, it's not a district issue, the dike here.
What is this? Whose dike is that?
That I don't know.
It's near the stream, the Skunk River, in the
20s.
It's probably the 30th century.
Good. And they put that.
Probably part of that project.
Yeah. Okay.
So we talked about these last time we met with the DOT up here, but we did not discuss this dike being removed.
Well, clarify this for me, and then we'll come back to this. So my understanding, when we severed the western part of the district, it was because there was no, all the water that was originally flowing like this changed when the interstate went in. And we said, okay, now none of this water that's on this side of the interstate is flowing across the interstate. It's flowing, didn't you guys put in a ditch or something along the side of the interstate? And so it's flowing down the west side of the interstate and actually entering the Skunk River down here. And that was our rationale behind Severn. Now, maybe I misheard you, but I thought I heard that one of your concerns was there's going to be more water coming from the west side across the interstate back into this drainage district that we severed. So that would be the first thing that I want clarified from. Okay.
Well, there has to be, because why else would you put those tubes in?
Absolutely. I just want to understand it.
Yep.
And did we, is it everything to the west of the interstate that we've done away with in this district?
Yes.
Because as I understand the way drainage district works, you can't bring water from outside a district to inside a district.
Correct, right.
So we got to work through that.
Right, so we're directing water from where there used to be district from all under his.
Yeah, you're going to overload that.
Well, that and then everybody that was severed. If there's tubes under the interstate now they should come back in.
Yeah, how do you think that plan? Oh, you're out. No, you're back in. No, you're out.
Well, that sounds like a baseball game.
You guys talk me through that. What is happening? What's the intention of the water here on the west side?
Why don't you introduce yourself first? I'm Dave Klangman. I'm the hydraulic engineer for the DOT.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, we'll give you a summary here. Currently, the interstate overtops for about a 25-year flood. So as we saw in 2010, it overtopped. It came pretty close a month ago.
Okay.
Not quite enough to get over the interstate, but it was about a 20-year event.
And where does it tend to overtop? Is it right in here?
Yeah, it's more here. It's lower in here.
Okay.
But then in 2010, it was a severe enough flood where it even kind of overtopped up into here, too.
The fence post. You had the ditch, then you had fence post.
Uh-huh.
The water was over the top of the fence post.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had a big event in 2010.
Sure.
But for an interstate system, we want to have non-overtopping for at least a 50, if not 100. So
okay.
As part of our project, these bridges need to be replaced. So here's and we're building it on relocation to the west. So as part of that, we want to ensure that our interstate is built to a grade that won't overtop for a 100-year flood.
Okay.
So when you do that, the big concern is, well, what impacts do you have upstream? You have Ryerson up here, and he's about the only insurable structure that we have to deal with, but you still have all the upstream floodplain properties. The DNR sort of restricts how much backwater you can create based on your project. So we tried to minimize that as much as possible. However, we didn't quite meet it. So you get to a point where there's limiting returns on, you know, you could build a bridge almost like a causeway bridge, 2,000 feet long, and it still doesn't help your cause. So we ended up having to get a variance for the backwater criteria for the 100-year, and the 50-year is another issue. I don't want to go down that issue, but there's a 50-year and 100-year backwater. We got them to issue the permit for based on 100-year backwater. So we had to get flow easements upstream from the property owners because in order to make this work hydraulically and provide the flood protection for the interstate but still convey enough flow from an economic standpoint, we were able to show in our hydraulic modeling that a quad box culvert, a quad 15-foot wide by 12-foot high box, would allow enough flow to convey out into the floodplain to minimize the backwater upstream. Now, when we analyze this for, well, okay, when does that inundate that property, especially this one right here on this side? Because what happens is the remnant dike is not tied to our road embankment. There's a gap there. And our survey, our LIDAR survey, shows there's a gap between the drainage district dike and the remnant dike here, too. So we have two holes basically in that remnant dike that when the Skunk River comes up, it backs up into that property. Okay? So you get inundated regardless of the dike being there or not, okay? And that'll be the case, too, when we do our project, because when we punch the four box culverts in here, we're going to have a channel, a well-defined ditch that's going to drain that down to the Skunk River. Now, when you look at this property and you say, well, does that increase the frequency of inundation? We found very slightly, like from a 3-year to a 4-year. So, in other words, it would inundate instead of a 4-year normally where water would back up into this area through the ditching. It's a 4-year. So, or no, instead of a 4-year, a 3-year. So we very, very slightly increased the inundation of that property. When you look at impacts our project has on the way water is on the downstream side, what we do here has very minimal impact on the flood elevations, the flood conveyances, or the velocities of flow, because in what hydraulics 101, what controls all that is what is downstream of that.
Okay. Now, if you have a situation where there's a blowhole here, when the Skunk River comes up and it fills the ditch, it's going to back into this property, regardless of what we do here, or regardless of what we do with that dike. So this issue is more just, does it need repair? Does
it's going to come back.
Yeah, there's a connection to the Skunk River there. So there's nothing we do on I-35 that's going to impact that.
I'm completely with you on nothing that is done up here is going to impact when we get something going downstream and it starts backing up. I mean, I think we can all agree to that when it's backing up. What I'm hearing the concern is additional water into this drainage ditch and whether that would overtop the embankment. Can I call it that? The embankment that we have right here, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing from you is DOT's designed this in a way where, yes, it takes it under the interstate, but then the intention is to divert it down along the interstate right away into the Skunk River.
Correct.
That would only work is if the water is, like, high enough to go across the top. Can we talk about an issue like 5 years ago? There's nothing's going to stop it. I mean, it just floods everything. And that's where that, say there's a gap here. I believe that's what happened 5 years ago. That got washed out. It should be closed in on this dike.
But this isn't a dike that the drainage district put in. This is left over from when the Corps apparently dredged the river.
I believe so, before my time. But if you run some water and shoot it down here, when it rains like that, it just nothing stops it. I mean, it's like it's a whole lake. Everything's underwater up to the fence post.
Right, and that's today's conditions. And with the new project, that really won't change. It'll be the same.
Yeah, so running it down here would be like, it'll help on a real small flood. But then that's going to back up from the river, too.
Absolutely. But as I see our concern here today is, so we can have the conversation about improving the drainage district, right? But that's a different conversation than I think we're having today. What we're having today is, let's not make it worse. Let's not have something get done in this interstate project that makes matters worse on this property. And what I'm hearing DOT saying right now is, Nothing that you're doing is showing it making it worse. It may not make it better for some of these properties, but it doesn't make it worse.
Right.
That's
a good summary, yeah.
Okay. But there'd have to be more. If you put these culverts underneath here, and you're going to have to put them here, that means there's going to be watershed from the west side going on east.
Can I draw on your map, Scott?
Yeah.
So as I understand it, you're talking about those box culverts going through here.
Yep.
And then you're also talking about something here that will flow down like this.
Yeah, the ridge will be longer, so there'll be an open ditch underneath it.
So that will be new,
right,
that we don't have now.
So. Well, but it's not much different than the ditch we have currently today that water backs up into and inundates the area.
But the longer ridge allows water to go on.
More water. We got a bigger, wider ditch, but
the bigger, wider ditch, which means less backup here,
right,
but more water is moving through more rapidly.
Well, the other thing we got to realize is that when in the world of hydraulics, we really don't change the amount of water from upstream to downstream. What we do is change the energy or head required to get it from one side to the other of the road embankment.
Okay.
So what happens is today, a certain amount of head and energy has to develop to get the same amount of flow over, like 2010, the interstate over top. Now what we're doing is we're building up the interstate. We're providing a slightly longer bridge and the four quad box, but less energy or head upstream to get that same amount of water under now.
Right.
But the same amount of water will still be on the other side.
But
we don't reduce energy. With less energy, right? So we don't really reduce the quantity of water by opening or putting a culvert in there, especially for these floods greater than a 25-year, because right now the interstate overtops.
Right.
So all that water for the large events gets there regardless. And we're
so
not
right
changing
now,
anything.
In a 25-year flood, we've got water overtopping the interstate.
Yep.
What, and did you tell me it was a 3 or 4 year flood?
Right. Well, we will, for lesser events, there will be water once this area, like let's say the one that occurred last August, which was about a 20 year, water will now get on this side, but water was here in a month ago anyway here. So we're not changing whether water gets here or not. It's just we're improving the conveyance under the road.
And where did that water come from?
For larger events.
On this side.
What's that?
Where did, if there was water here, which there was, where did that come from? Because it didn't go over the interstate.
No, but it would back up into the ditch and then back up into that property.
So it came from the Skunk all the way up? Is that
sure,
how
based on the water elevation, it would back up and inundate that area, right.
Okay. And that's not going to change?
No.
We're going to experience anything that's backing up out of the Skunk will be the same 5 years from now,
right,
after you finish.
Once the
project,
Skunk gets above its top of banks and inundates areas, it's still going to inundate the same areas.
Okay. Right. One of you two, help me with, so I understand that by law we cannot allow water from outside a district to be put into a district, but I also believe that DOT controls the right-of-way to the interstate, so they're allowed to move water back and forth as they see fit within their right-of-way. Is that right or wrong?
That's partially. This is a little confusing. We have actually two drainage districts here. There's a Skunk River drainage district.
Skunk River 4, which
makes no sense that we can't add water because that's
Skunk.
It's
an active district.
Is it still active?
It's not. We never abandoned it. We just haven't done anything with it.
Where is Skunk River 4?
It runs from about a mile south of Ames all the way to the county line. Along both sides of the Skunk River.
So all the way through here?
Yes.
That's what brought
us
to the top
of the county. Somewhere in here would be the
most spot.
Because it kind of heads right through there and down.
Okay. All right, so Darren, you were telling me right and wrong with what can happen with this water.
That sounds right. And this is just an open ditch district. So to say, water can't cross the boundaries, a little deceiving here, because it's just a ditch to get this water out of here. Most of our districts you're talking about are like that. They have set boundaries. These two are a little different than that. I wouldn't look at it in that way.
Okay. But yet we severed part of it.
Right. So
that was 13, right?
13. Not 4. Yeah. So 13 is what we're looking at. That's what Branch off on.
This is 13.
Yes.
This is 4.
Four would encompass part of 13 because it runs through here.
Okay.
It's a half mile on each side of the Skunk River.
But it's an inactive district.
Yeah.
Which means what?
Just that we haven't done anything with it since 1912 or something like that. Three levees back off the turn of the century and that's been out.
Good.
So even with the 13, like you said, the water comes down, the Skunk backs up into here. So outside water is coming into that district. Outside the mountains.
Okay. But I should.
If they ran water, if they were going to run water under like they're proposing, then we'd have to look at annexing land into the district.
Well, but see, that's just local drainage, almost like ditch drainage that we would, for the most part, contain within our right of way until we got to such a flood event that the Skunk was out of its banks anyway. Because water isn't going to get here from the Skunk until the water gets high enough to run across the floodplain to get there. So flood flow, local flow, we're going to take care of. Flood flow from another district maybe is not an issue regarding DD-13.
Those culverts, you expect those in normal conditions to remain dry.
Correct.
They won't take water at all.
Just local rainwater, correct.
But most of the local rainwater will run down the ditch.
Yeah, it'll run down our defined ditch down here to the Skunk River, correct.
So only in a flood event,
correct,
would the water that's coming under the interstate actually move further to the east,
correct,
and have to be dealt with over here.
Correct.
Oh, right. But it flooded so darn many times.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And the cycle that we're in right now is so unpredictable, but so that's the part of the challenge that we're facing.
Right. But what I think is reasonable is to have an expectation of DOT that they're not going to contribute to the problem. We've got a problem. But our expectation of DOT should be they're not going to contribute to the problem. And what I'm hearing is DOT is not going to contribute to the problem with the project they're doing. which if that's true, then we move on to the next conversation, which is, okay, do we need to be doing some kind of improvement to this district, which is separate from DOT? Right. So the conversation today, as I understood, we're going to be here to talk about, is this project that DOT is working on going to contribute to a worsening of this district? And I'm hearing right now that it's not, unless somebody's hearing different than that. Are you hearing that it's going to make things worse?
Well, from my side and my tenant's side, yes.
Okay. Talk me through how it's going
to
make it
worse. That's if nothing is done to correct the issue you see with this ditch. Is that correct?
But that has nothing to do with the DOT project.
So explain that.
Well, they are.
If nothing is done.
Well, I think you missed the part that those. Mr. Bradshaw said there's a weak point in the ditch here.
Right.
It was already let water out
right, right here.
Field.
Which
right.
is a problem
right.
with the drainage district right. separate from oh. DOT.
So his concern is in a major flood event with more water backing up from the sink into that ditch and more pressure than we've had in the past,
right.
then that small damage there will become a major
right.
blowout.
I got you.
But I heard DOT say, and if this is not accurate, they will not be changing right. the amount of water. And so if the amount of water is not changing, then we're dealing with the same. If we've got a weak spot right here, we're dealing with that problem because we got to deal with that problem, not because DOT's putting more water into the system.
Okay. In 5 years ago, when we had the big flood, did water go across the interstate? Yes. You're going to be building this up, so water will not be going across the interstate.
Right.
We're changing it from what it was to what it will be, and they're making a big dike because that's what they're doing with the 35.
They're going to keep water from topping the interstate until a 100-year flood or
right.
beyond a 100-year flood.
Right. So they are, without question, they're changing it. They're making a bigger dike.
But we're even making it better upstream than what it is today as far as flood elevations. And the water that overtops the interstate today that gets on the downstream side will be the same water for the same event with our project in place. It's not going to change a thing as far as what's downstream. What
just instead of coming over top of the interstate,
it's going under
through one of these box culverts. But even if it did, DOT building up I-35 would impact west.
Upstream.
It would not impact east.
Yeah.
And so is this a drainage district?
No. Part of it is not in the district at all. Just depends on the boundaries of four on the north end of the city are going to be running up through this area like that. So you've got some area here that's not in anything.
And Scott, help me through this. County really doesn't have a whole lot to do with DOT in terms of you guys have to abide by your state requirements and federal requirements and what you do on the interstate. The way we would have something to say about it is if you were, in fact, impacting a drainage district, that's where, to me, the lines get a little more blurry. But it's you guys' responsibility to determine what kind of impact, if any, you're having on land one side or another of one of your projects.
Which we have, and we're doing some flow adjustments on that side also to an extent.
Right, because we don't meet the... Not because... We just don't quite meet DNR criteria, but we are making it better upstream for all flood events with basically.
That's where
you were
saying what you were allowed to, the water you were allowed to hold in a 50-year or a 100-year.
Right,
and you
the backwater, yep.
Okay, and you got a waiver on the 100-year.
Yep. Even though we're making it better than it is today, we're still paying property owners for some easements, flow adjustments.
Right.
Even though we're making it better than it is today.
Okay.
That's what we had to do for digging flank. We were going to back water up into that guy's property.
Occasionally.
Yeah, because they want to do a flow easement for us here.
All right, but, so let's get to the end of our conversation on 13, which the conversation for today on 13 is DOT contributing to any future issues in 13, and what I've heard so far is we may have issues in 13. I'm not discounting that, but DOT's project here should not contribute to 13. Darren, you walk me through. As our engineer, am I hearing that accurately, and do you accept that?
I do, based on Dave's hydraulics, and two, we already have an open point here, and this has got to be open.
ditch, so whatever elevation the skunk gets to, it's going to back up into there. So as long as you're not changing that, I don't see what impact it has. There could be issues with the district itself. That's a separate conversation.
That's the next conversation that we have, but I want to make sure we get to the end of the conversation, because as I understood, the reason you wanted to be here today, or at least the initial reason, was to talk about DOT's project and its impact on your ground, specifically this. I mean, this is the one I'm hearing that you're really worried about.
Yeah, and that's what hasn't been addressed in this whole thing. Everything, you know, from our perspective, it's all been focused on these two pieces and this piece here. This has been a non-issue, okay?
Right.
And there has been a breach in here of this, and it does leak out. If this isn't taken care of correctly up here by this road,
right,
it's going to start going over on Bates Farm here and then down on ours more. And so this thing is like, you look at the piece of land valuation, the DOT appraised it at $10,000 an acre. There's over 200 acres, that's $2 million.
Right.
Would you give that for it? Yeah. So what's that worth? Because the chances of this greater flood by kicking more ground or more water over here and hitting the outside of this ditch.
Yeah, but there's our disconnect, Bruce, because I have not heard yet that we're kicking more water over there. What I'm hearing is it's going to be very, very similar in a 2010 type event. The water over top the interstate, and we had to deal with the water in this area for that and backed up. Now, in a 2010 event, the water may change how it gets across the interstate. It's not going to be overtopping it, but it's going to be the same amount of water. Now, if I'm missing this, you tell me.
Nope, you got it.
Yeah. There's not going to be more water coming from the western side of the interstate to the eastern side until it gets to Skunk River around the bridge. And I say around the bridge because I recognize that there's going to be some flow coming down the east side of the interstate. But at the end of the day, once I get to the east side of the I-35 bridge, it's going to be the same water that was coming before.
Right.
And so if you accept that, then our next conversation has to be, okay, if there's something wrong with this ditch that we need to get in and fix as a drainage district, then we need to get in and look at it and have that conversation about what needs to happen there. But that is separate from DOT. Again, unless you believe that there's more water coming than there would be in the, and I'm going to use the 2010 event as an example.
Sure.
In 2010, the water crossed the interstate. In 2020, when it happens again, the water's going to cross the interstate, but instead of going over top of the interstate, it's going to come underneath. But it's going to be the same amount of water that we were dealing with from 2010.
Correct.
Well, yeah, eventually, yeah. I mean...
And so now we better make sure that we have a ditch that adequately deals with that. And what I'm hearing is can accommodate a normal backup from the Skunk River without spilling over into the property. And Darren and Scott, I would count on you guys to make sure we get the assessment done of do we have a problem on this that needs to be addressed.
I think I would go to Darren's green guys just going out and taking a look at it. On the ground.
At first, and then if we start to find something, it may be taking it to
they
to guys at
IN. Is this something we can handle in house, or we need to bring in an outside
contractor?
INS,
what are they?
INS.
Okay.
INS.
I don't know what it is.
I got a couple
of
these.
These
are drainage.
INS. It is
INS. INS.
Can't roadie.
And so
when it comes down to it's a problem, if you do it in house, when you have to take this and have an outside contact.
So, Bruce, what I'm going to propose, and then I'm going to ask my counterparts to weigh in, so this is just a proposal at first, is that we acknowledge that DOT's project is not going to add water to this eastern part of the district. And then we step on from that and we say, we've got to get in and do an assessment of this ditch to see weak points. And if they're outside of original specifications of what this drainage district was supposed to be, because we're bound by law to maintain a drainage district to its original specifications. Now, we can't improve one, but that's a whole different animal if we start to improve one. We're bound by law to keep it to original specifications. So we have these guys dig in and figure out what original specifications were of that ditch. Are we meeting that? If we aren't, then it's easy. We go in and fix it. If we are meeting that and we determine that that's not good enough anymore, then we've got to come in and we've got to look at improving the district, which is a whole different animal. It's doable. We've done it in a couple of districts. But
we're doing it right now.
We're doing it right now in another district. But we get in and we take a look at this ditch and see where we are, where the weaknesses are, and does that meet what it was originally intended to do, or has it? Is there an issue that we need to dig in and solve as soon as possible? So before I turn to these two, I just want to ask you if all that's acceptable to you as we have this conversation today.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to get one thing clear. You know, obviously this thing floods. Eventually, one day or 100 days, the water is going to get off.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's just going to happen. So when you build up that interstate, it is creating a dike.
Right.
Whereas water would normally go from here to here over the interstate.
Right.
Now you're going to say a 15-foot culvert's going to take everything. Okay, that's what I'm hearing.
Or
four of them?
Yeah. Four given flood for 50-year...
Is that a 100-year flood? What does that handle before?
It'll handle about a 100-year.
Okay, so if we're in South Carolina today, we got water over the interstate.
Yeah,
right?
No problem. Yeah,
okay.
We're in trouble.
Everything's underwater then.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any difference what you do.
No, at that point, get the boat out. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but before here, you know, I mean, 2000, this was flooded here. I mean, everything.
And it will be again the next time we have one of those events.
It's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I don't believe that DOT's project is going to make it any worse than it was in 2010.
Same water. I'll also mention, too, just for everybody's benefit, there was a Supreme Court decision where for DOT projects, there is not a real or perceived prescriptive right to any benefits downstream of a roadway project as part of normal drainage law. So in other words, as if the road wasn't even there, you have to accept whatever that natural drainage would be. So, you know, we run into this all the time.
For instance, if we had our road there and we decided to take our road out, we couldn't be sued that, well, now you're giving us more water because you used to have a dike there.
Right.
Right. So we always get hit both sides, whether we're not doing what we're supposed to do upstream or downstream. But the downstream issue is, by drainage law and Supreme Court decision, we are not obligated to provide any real or perceived benefit downstream.
Okay. That said, that you're not obligated, you're not negatively
impacted. Well, right. I want to make sure we get this conversation first before I threw my aces and the spades out on the table.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and I completely recognize, again, that our relationship with DOT is a little different than our relationship with other landowners as drainage district trustees. That said, when we have a landowner that has a concern, we want to make sure that we dig in and figure out what the concern is and what we need to be doing. And let me just say this. I'm so appreciative to all three of you guys for being here today to talk us through this and make sure that we get where we need to go. Anything you want to add before I turn to my colleagues to make sure that they're good with where we're seem to be headed?
Well, probably a couple more things.
Okay.
And I mentioned this earlier to these gentlemen. We had heard that Gary Bates gets told our tenant that when they did that original ditch north of this county road, when it was cleaned and dredged, the dirt was placed on the east side of the ditch. Okay, south of this county road, it was put on the west side.
Okay,
so that's where the east side would be
lower.
So when this backs up, it's going to kick it that way. So my concern is, number one, with the ditch, is it going to hold all this? Is it just going to blow out and everything?
Sure.
Number two is this farm, because our tenant really doesn't want to farm it anymore. You know, he's gone over all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
He's looked at it. He goes, there's going to be a blowout right here. There's a blowout here. This is going to flood north of here. It's going to be just a complete mess.
Okay.
So the economic damage is one thing, you know.
Sure.
It's pretty big.
Can I ask you real quick?
And then
blowout spots. I'm just curious. These are the contour lines. I'm showing a low area in here. Where is that blowout? How does the surface water get into that ditch if we were to build that embankment back up?
How backs up the river?
He's asking, how will you drain this piece of property if we build that?
You can see that white spot where it's kind of, I'm assuming water gets in there from that, too.
Yeah,
that.
There's one up here, too. The left goes right.
Looks like this side drains and gets through the skunk dike, but this side has to get in there somehow. That's what I'm concerned about.
Let's have this conversation in just a minute. If we're done with DOT, these guys are busy and have lots to do. Let's get to the end with DOT, and then we'll move on.
I got one question first, okay? You want to take out this dike here.
Right.
What's wrong with taking out the dike on the south? Because that would allow the natural flow of water.
Well, I guess we didn't look at that issue, but trying to keep things as they are today, as far as not trying to change, because for certain flood events, water does not get over on that side, south side of the, and east side of the interstate. But currently, the remnant dike there still allows water to get in that property. So that's why we propose just to clean that out and make it more efficient hydraulically, basically.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the dike that's south of here.
Right.
And that the land that the city of Ames owns.
Right. I'm saying we if we open that up, we got to find an outlet for it, and I think the levee continues on, and that would significantly change the drainage patterns as they exist today, where removing the remnant dike would not.
And the remnant dike, that's what blew out 5 years ago, and I didn't fix it. You know, I think it's a permission and stuff, and I didn't get it done.
And that was Corps of Engineers back at the turn of the century.
But I'm saying if they want that natural flow, pull these dikes out here. That water would go here. It's going to drain faster.
Right, but I'm not hearing them say natural flow. What I'm hearing them say is this dike's not serving any purpose because there's a way in here and a way in there. And so right now the water's just it's still getting here. It's just going around it. And if they take out that dike, it can improve the natural flow of water and actually move more water south of here with less force maybe. Is that the way I'm
saying? Yeah, it helped improve the conveyance of flows for those larger flood events.
Okay.
And improved elevations upstream on some of the property that you own.
So yeah, that upstream, I mean, it's going to be backed up till it comes down, you know.
Yeah, it all backs up, but that was just another feature that helped improve the hydraulics to help reduce the backwater upstream.
So how does removing this section of dike impact you? So DOT is talking about removing this section,
just
right?
Just matching the natural ground out there, right?
Tell me how that impacts this, not just you, this whole area right here.
Well, you know, I would have to get an engineer, okay, or do the maps here. I'm not qualified to make those decisions without just speculation.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that's not what I do. But what they wanted to do was come in, originally they wanted an easement, and then they wanted to take out this dike and everything, and they come back with a different proposal. This is kind of like one thing, and then they want to pay for an easement and all this stuff, you know. So I understand that, you know. And that is what it is, and, you know, 35 is going to go through.
Yep.
I mean, I'm fighting uphill on that thing. My thing is, though, is this 200 acres on the left on the side.
That's this what this drainage ditch makes sure that we've got that at least to original specifications, and if that's not good enough, then we come back and we have the conversation about whether we want to improve the drainage district and what kind of impact that's going to have on the surrounding ground.
Yeah, and if we're going to do that because of this water, DOT should pay for that, in my opinion. Are they going to pay for the ditch to the north? Right, there's going to be this drainage ditch right here, right where it goes across the county road. There was something I read that it's going to be there's, you know, this build up.
Oh, we're not building it up. We're trying to smooth it out and make it so that it protects that county bridge a little better, actually.
Okay.
But it's not going to really change hydraulically what goes on there. The dike right now along here goes up and down, and so and it doesn't really have a defined top width, so we went in here to smooth that out and provide a defined top width and elevation. So as it, you know, was kind of picking in between the low and the high spots and giving it a constant elevation, and that way we could model it better, and it really didn't change anything hydraulically there.
But you're gonna you mind if I turn this so I'm looking at everything the same
sure.
direction?
Yep.
All right. But, so,
and this is the same drainage district, same pitch.
Yeah.
So you're going to be fixing this because obviously it doesn't meet your specifications.
Well, we're fixing it essentially to protect the bridge. Because I don't know, in 2010 you probably had some scour under there, and I don't know.
So if they're going to fix that, can we make somehow sure that this kind of acts like a dike?
Well, this would provide you benefit because it helped keep the water basically for certain events on this side of the system as opposed to coming across and maybe getting to your side.
Yeah, so. I say Gary Bates owns this 80 right here. And from what I've heard, generally it doesn't flutter, it's not bad, but that could change. I mean, this would be the time to...
Well, that I think would help this gentleman more, actually.
Yeah, well,
because it would reduce the low spots anyway.
Yeah.
But
so it reduces the amount of water that's getting to the ditch up here? Is that
it's just kind of, instead of having this dike that goes up and down, we kind of made it so it's just a constant elevation.
Right.
So we smoothed it out so that it would be a certain flood event that would overtop it anyway. So it would be and not get there for anything less than that.
Right,
so.
But right now, as it goes up and down, there are certain events that water is crossing into it that won't cross into it
correct.
At this point.
Correct.
So if that's correct, then there's, until you get to a certain size event,
right.
Now water that was getting into the ditch from up here won't be getting
correct.
Into the ditch. It'll be flowing back this way and
right.
flowing down what you guys...
And that's why I say hydraulically it doesn't change much because we made the big improvement here to,
are you
to get the water through.
This?
No, it's going to still overtop the county road down
okay.
here. We're only
you're only raising the interstate that has a bigger dike.
Right. Well, and then the county road is being raised because we got to get the clearance required for the bridge over it. But we're touching down, see, right here. So this area would still overtop for the certain flood events.
And that's going to come in, if not done right, knock it through here. Knock the water through here.
No, if there's something there, it's going to go this way towards the river. It's not going to try to go this way.
And then my point is you're redoing this because it's not adequate, building out, you know, smoothing it out. That's what needs to be done here and on both sides. Let's say this is 10 feet and the other side 6 feet, and that's the short side. Then when water backs up the river, you know.
Yeah, but what we do here doesn't change that.
Right, and so, Bruce, I think I'm with you on what you're talking about might need to happen here. We just need to do the analysis to see where we are. Where the disconnect for me is DOT's paying for this one. And they're paying for this one because it impacts the way water is being held and it impacts the scouring on the county bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to pay for this, but I don't see the benefit to DOT and their project in paying for this. And if it needs to be paid for, it needs to be paid for by the drainage district, as I see it, rather than DOT. I understand your point of, yeah, I want DOT to pay for it, but I'm having... It's a non sequitur to me to get to why would DOT be responsible for paying for this one if you accept that they're not adding water to that system. And I haven't heard anything that leads me to believe that there's going to be more water in this ditch based on this project than there is now, depending on the event. So get me there. If you still believe that there's more water going in this ditch because of the event, get me there, because that's when I would turn to DOT and say, wait a minute, you're putting more water into this system. We need to figure out how to more adequately deal with the water.
Let's take the 2010 event for sure, okay,
yep.
And the interstate height at its height. And let's just say we got to that point, whenever that was in 2010, that water was absolutely interstate high.
Yep.
You know, okay?
Yep.
So to get the interstate high, it's going to have to drain this way.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's going to have to go that way. This way, this water that's all backed up, since interstate's going to be higher,
right?
It'll have to drain this way.
Okay.
But the water elevation for both instances is the same right here and here and here and here and here and there.
You need to explain that a little bit.
I've tried, but
yeah, let's just great patience. Let's just work our way through this thing.
Because I don't necessarily understand it as well as you think I do.
Okay.
just the water is just right before it overtops the interstate, right? So the existing bridges have a certain backwater and head and a certain velocity to get that water through. That velocity increases because there's more water and more head, because you're right at the incipient of overtopping the interstate. Now, right when and that water, even though it has a higher velocity, if you accept the premise that it's the same amount of water that flows towards the interstate and goes past the interstate, the laws of continuity,
yep,
and basic physics, mm-hmm, that somehow that bridge still is allowing the same amount of water. It's not acting like Coraville or Sailorville or a big reservoir. That same amount of water can get through that bridge, but just at a higher velocity. If you accept that, then the amount of water and the elevation of that water is going to be the same whether it's going all through the bridge or is going through a bridge and a quad box culvert.
Yeah, depends where it goes.
But it still will result in the same elevation, same water surface elevation, whether it has the quad box under it or has it overtopped the interstate yet. It's going to be the same elevation on both sides.
Let me be the devil's advocate just a little bit here.
Okay.
Because obviously this is not an expertise that I have in terms of flow and all of these types of things. But in the event that we've got a major flood, such as we had in 2010, where water is going to go up, the amount of time that highway is closed, approximately how many hours?
Well, the 2010 event, I think I-35 was closed for a day.
Yeah, a day and a half.
Okay. So you look at the economic benefit, the cost of the closing, the rerouting traffic, and everything around, you know, to where they have to go during that time. And you weigh that in terms of that normal flow. If you left everything as is, and you said, okay, property owners, you know that in that case, if that water is coming up over the bridge, you're also going to be inundated. The problem that I see is can any of these improvements end up lessening the amount of water that's going to be left standing still on a given property for any greater length of time? Because I would think that when you talk about the hydrology and leveling out, if you've got low spots, that means the water is going to keep flowing somewhere. Eventually, it should not be left on property for longer periods of time, which means that it's going to dry out sooner. The property owners or farmers should be able to get back into the field sooner, etc. So trying to weigh economic impact, not only to the flow of commerce, interstate commerce, and agricultural productivity, what's the driving force between why, you know, this becomes an urgent situation, you know, from an engineering standpoint, from a highway, you know, aspect. I mean, just
The bridges. I mean, the bridges are poor.
And the bridges eventually are going to deteriorate even further.
Yeah, we need to replace the bridges.
And you got to, and that's where your biggest cost comes in.
So when we replace the bridges, we get into the...
We want a three-lane facility for the future.
Yep.
So they're going to be 60 foot wide instead of 40.
Gotcha.
We make them longer to get more water underneath, and we got regulations on how much we can back
water.
Up water.
And to get to your point about duration more than elevation, we're actually improving things because this ditch will help drain these properties better than where they are today. So in my mind, we're lessening maybe the time of inundation on the property with this local...
And to me, that would be something I would want to have.
How much is this ditch, the ditch on the east side of the interstate, how much is it changing? I'm talking about in your right-of-way.
How much is it? Well, it's pretty wide now. We're going to make it, I think, well, I wish I had cross-sections, but it's fairly wide. I mean, we're putting in a 15-foot wide, so there's 60-foot wide. It turns the corner, and then I think we ended up with a 30-foot wide or 25-foot wide ditch. But it's just wider.
It's just wider.
Yeah. Just to help keep that flow from those box culverts for those events to give it a way to convey better. Because if we left it as the natural ground, it wouldn't convey until the water got like 6 feet deep. And then you'd lose the effectiveness of the bottom 6 feet of your box, right?
Right, okay.
So that's kind of the premise there.
Yeah, this would be the... We want to buy on this property... What is that, 5 acres?
That's to move to the... We're moving the new lanes to the west side so that we're going
to... So that has nothing to do with the drainage. That has to do with actually building.
Yeah, building on the west side.
Building on the west side.
Okay.
And they want to buy this, which would be this corner thing right here.
I think we have offered to buy this entire parcel if there was concerns about...
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, well, this is a pretty good view. So that's what they want to buy is this section here. And I am old enough to remember when the interstate completely went through. And this used to be 80 acres, and then took part of it, and that will be a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Where is this? This is right here.
Yeah, this would be on the west side of the state. So they went to buy another sliver. It was right down here.
Right, but that's because you're talking about shifting the whole interstate to the west.
Yeah, we have to build, keep traffic maintained while we build new.
Yep.
So my still concern is with the damage, potential damage here. You know, if this acted like a dike, held everything in here and shoot it down, that's one thing. But there's just so much water. You know, it's like taking me, I took my, what's left of this water, and I tilled this table, and I put it along here, eventually everything's going to go. You know, fall off the table. If I took it right here, everything's going to go off the table. So eventually all that water is going to go down. I understand it. Mm-hmm. In regards to, this is called bottom ground. It's self-draining. Think of it like you got rock and the rock and the sand and everything. So when the river goes up, say there's a low spot in here. The river goes up all the way.
That fills up too.
It fills up too.
Sure.
It just goes up and down.
Sure.
So,
but our concern with DOT, Bruce, is whether they are putting more water into this ditch. And everything that I've heard today says that DOT, until we get to an event that's already putting water in that ditch, DOT is not doing anything that's going to add water in a normal event until we get to the, is it 50 or 100?
I don't know what the overtopping of the dike is.
And this road's going to overtop at the same time. I mean, so we're going to deal with the same problems we dealt with before, just instead of the water coming across the interstate and backing up to get there, it's going to come through the new culverts and back up to get there. Right. We're going to deal with the same problems. So my finding is that DOT, this is not to suggest that there's not problems with this ditch because we got to get in and look at it, DOT is not contributing to any future problems of this ditch by this project. Let's deal with that part of this first, get these guys out of here, and then we'll go on and have the conversation about the rest of the ditch. Yeah. So I'll turn to you guys. Paul, you sat quietly. One of you.
Well, I haven't heard anything today from anybody that says to make me believe that the DOT, this project, is going to put more, in a normal event, put more water on this side of the interstate. And you can disagree if you want, but 60 feet of box culvert is not going to prevent the water from going on the interstate if it was the same as it is today. But they're raising it up. And in my mind, even if it doesn't take more water, it's going to push more water down this way.
Right.
Instead of going over the interstate, because it's higher now, there is an outlet, but if it's a high enough event, it's going to push more water further south. And, you know, and if you have another event like you did in 2010, it's all going to be underwater anyway. Or like, you know, in 93, it was all underwater. Well, the interstate was closed for how many days in 1993? So, you know, several days. So, I think it's two different issues. And even if I did think that it was going to contribute more, I don't know what the hell we could do about it as a Board of Supervisors.
No, but we can continue to have the conversation.
Well, sure. Correct.
Yeah, it's important.
Correct.
I
think our job is to make sure that this facility is in as good a shape as it can possibly be in.
To the original specifications.
Correct. Right. And I've got questions about that as far as the dike. But that's...
Okay, Wayne, anything to add to that?
No, I just think the whole analysis and where we are today is very helpful. I think one of the most important things here is you've got a landowner that truly has some concerns and is trying to figure out how this project will mitigate or the circumstances that, you know, he's become accustomed to. And I think we've identified, again, from the county's perspective with this other area, that there potentially needs to be something to take a look at. And, you know, in every situation that we've ever had, in my 15 years of experience, when a landowner or a property owner has come to us with an issue or a concern, and we've looked into that in terms of, you know, the betterment for everybody's concerned. Here we've got the future expansion of the highway with DOT, the bridge we all know is certainly going to need to be factored in with that. So at the end of the day, I want it to be a situation where all parties involved recognize there is potentially could be some unforeseen things, because none of us can determine what Mother Nature is going to do on any given, you know, time. But over the long haul, on a normal daily rain, normal daily flow, and so forth, these improvements, it's not going to adversely impact the way operations exist now. And to me, that's the good thing about it. But I think the benefit of this is trying to get everybody on the same page, understanding, mm-hmm. you know, where we're going and
well, it's a conversation worth having. Exactly. I'm so appreciative to you guys for coming. I think we're done with DOT. Thank you very much.
Okay. Sure. Congrats. Nice meeting you.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Thank you. Absolutely. Always good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Yeah.
You
bet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just bring your name on this.
See there.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to move on, and we're going to deal with getting in and analyzing this thing to see where we are. We'll let Scott get done over there. He's going to have a role.
I see you guys.
See you, buddy.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You got me?
Okay.
Thank you. At about 3:00. Thank you.
Yep.
You
guys.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. All right, Darren Scott, I have heard that there's a concern that this drainage ditch in 13 is not to original specifications. We've got a couple areas of blowouts. We've got a couple potential blowouts. I'd like to ask, with the permission of these two, if you go, you initiate full analysis to see where we are compared to original specifications. And with that, Darren, I'd like you to also look, if we are meeting original specifications, is there good cause to take a look at improving this ditch in order to protect some of the land on the east side of the ditch? Okay? Talk me through what has to happen for those things to happen if that's the way we move.
I just thought of another issue.
Okay.
If we were to raise up any of that area above what it is right now, it's in the 100-year floodplain boundary. That's county not allowed to do that. We're not able to fill.
Even if it's taking a drainage ditch back to original specifications?
If it did that, we'd probably have an out, but I'm not.
Well, then let's do the analysis to see what the original specifications are.
You may not be able to do the improvement. That's
what you're saying.
And that's a conversation we need to have after we figure out how this thing looks compared to original specifications, and are there areas that it was originally designed to be functioning differently than it's functioning now. Then we'll have, once we get to that, we'll have to have the conversation beyond. And that's where hopefully you're walking out of here understanding, I believe that the drainage district not only has the authority, but has the responsibility to maintain this to original specifications. Going beyond that, I think we've got some real hurdles if we wanted to all of a sudden start to improve this ditch, but that's a conversation that we need to have once we know what the original specifications look like.
How are they able to improve this then?
That's it. Come down.
They're not building that up. That's already got a bit of a berm there. They're just smoothing it out.
They're just bringing the berm to a consistent level.
Yeah.
So that's not an improvement.
Raising the low points.
So we could take this to a consistent level as well if we decided to.
Yeah, right.
It should probably be lower than it is now on average. Because you'd be lowering.
Because some of the high points would come down, but the low points would go up.
Right.
But my gut feel would be that when they originally designed this, they didn't design it to go up and down. They designed it to have an a level.
I doubt we're going to find anything in there about the design of the
road. And the issue may have been that when they designed it, may have been designed just to see a ditch that
elevated. That's my question. Is,
because
you know,
the cleanouts was about berm.
This is the spoils from the cleanout.
Yeah.
Now, was it intended to act as a berm, or was it just left that way because that's the way it was left? And if they were just left there, is it actually part of the ditch, or is it just the spoils? I don't know that. I mean, I know you get further towards in western or eastern Iowa, they've got levee districts. Instead of drainage districts, you get close enough to the Mississippi and the Missouri, they've got levee districts.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know if this,
if there's a blowout spot, we tried to fix them. Before, but we never went and tried to improve the hole.
Right. Well, take a look at it and see if there's blowout spots that maybe we need to look at leveling this, which we could deem as being maintaining it to original specifications.
Right. So that's the way it was.
And then just get a report back to us as soon as we can.
Okay. If I heard you right, this whole land comes up and down. This doesn't necessarily have to drain into the ditch through that dike. Or does the surface flow need to go through that dike?
Oh, no. No.
That just comes up and down. And
well, that with the.
I just didn't want to fill in that dike if that's going to cause water to back up.
Well, ideally, it'd be nice to have this dike. Or have this as a true dike here and here.
Right.
Is that at least contain the water here?
Right.
You know?
Right.
When you look at there is a way to look at this from the river level to the bottom of this ditch, about the same height. I mean,
yeah.
So as that river goes up, this fills up too.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say for an example that whole area was flat right here. That thing's going to fill up, and it'll just fill up.
Look, yeah, absolutely. So let's get out and let's take a look at the low spots, a couple of the areas that you have concerns about the blowout coming, and see what, if anything, that we have the power to easily do. And then we'll reconvene to have that conversation once you've had a chance to look at that. Okay?
Yeah, but, DOT says the water is the same amount's going to go. Well, it will. But if, would it go here?
Yeah.
Or here?
Right. Yeah,
they're kicking it on the other side.
But and hopefully I didn't mishear that. Your concern is the water, what I heard, your concern, the water that's here now. Right now, it's flowing like this, and in a major event, it's topping here. And now that water that's going here is going to flow here, and then what happens to it? If it goes here, you don't have any big concern because it doesn't change what you're dealing with. But if it goes here, all of a sudden, you've got some major concerns.
Yeah. This, let me, you know, you get a big, I mean, everything's underwater.
Everything.
So this little ditch here?
Absolutely. But a big flood is going to be what it is.
If the river comes out of its banks,
then we are where we are.
The water's going to go upstream.
And what we need to take, what we need to look at is make sure that on a normal heavy rain event, there's not, there's definitely not more water coming here. And if there's a way for us to take this thing back where there's less water coming here, that would be great. Okay?
We're good? Wayne, you're good with that?
Okay. And you guys have already, in prior discussions with the DOT, kind of approved and chalked off everything?
Well, we don't, we don't have any
process.
You don't have any?
We met with us once and we talked about the whole district impact. We did not talk about this because that doesn't really...
It's not ours.
At that time, we didn't realize they were even doing that, taking the city apart. They're actually removing the whole dike, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's already open here. So.
See, I told, well, here's what I told them. I said, if you want to remove that dike and everything, that's going to flood this thing when it wouldn't flood. Buy it. You know, I said, oh, we can't do that. Absolutely.
But now they are.
Yeah. Well, they've offered. I said, well, look what's going to do with this. I said, buy it. If you think it's worth that amount, buy it.
But they said they'll buy this one. They aren't interested in buying this one.
Yeah, but that was after an absolute 100% no.
And then
they tried to get an attorney, and you know how hard it is to get an engineer. It's very tough because they all do business with DLT, and they take their business.
Absolutely.
I got a great friend that's a big engineering company. He won't touch
it. Yeah. Well, let us dig into this. Darren, any estimate on time frame, what it'll take you to take a look at this?
No.
But you guys don't think there'd be any problem with this water hitting the outside of this drainage ditch and eroding it away? You don't think there'd be any problem at all?
It depends on the event. I mean, if we get a 2010 type event, yeah, we're gonna deal with some of that just like we did in 2010.
It happened before. Last week, we did see a ton of damage.
My concern is leading up to that 2010 event. Is this changing anything? And everything I heard from them was, no, it's really not. It may cross, but then it's going to flow down this way.
So it's a certain elevation, and it's going to be right back to where it was before.
It depends if it's going to cross here or here. Because they're building this interstate up, so
right.
If water can't go across, that means it has to go here or it takes it here.
But it's all going to raise up the same way. It's just going to pump in from there instead of here.
Go back up in here.
My concern is the second that more water starts coming through here than this can handle, right? Because then it's changed things. As long as the water that's coming through here can be handled by whatever they're doing here, they're widening that, then it hasn't changed anything for this point right here. The second it's more than that, now all of a sudden that water's got to go somewhere. Now what you're talking about is happening.
Right.
And what I heard them say is in normal flooding events, not excessive flooding events, in fact, it's going to do just what we said.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be with how everything's worded because, you know, at this point down here, is that going to change any of the water or anything? Probably not.
Probably not.
Is it going to change it here and here? Yes, it has to. Otherwise...
Well, I like the idea of less velocity right here because it seems to me the velocity of the water and the energy that you build up in that water is where we get a lot of the problems. Right?
The erosion, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else that we need to talk about on Drainage District 13?
I know.
Okay, we're gonna have another public meeting as soon as Darren gets to the end of the report. You'll keep him informed of where you are in the process, and we'll go from there. Okay.
Is any other landowners come in about this or any other?
If it gets to the point of a large project exceeds a certain amount, then we have to notify everybody in the district.
Well, we got to do an engineer report.
Yeah, if we do an engineer's report, then we're going to be notifying all the landowners about.
But we shouldn't have to do anything to get the original assessment, Darren, on what you see.
Right.
Are there areas that we can get in and deal with? And then just based on that report, we're going to have to make the next decision of where we go from there.
All right. You think, I mean, am I out to lunch on this?
No, I think it's a valid concern. I appreciate having the conversation because I wasn't sure what we were going to hear today. I don't know what you guys are thinking. I wasn't sure what we were going to hear today in terms of how this was all going to impact. My biggest concern was we took action, Scott, how long ago? Was it 2 years ago? To sever, so none of this now exists as part of the drainage district anymore. Strictly because of the interstate, now all of a sudden I'm hearing that water's coming under. And so for me, the key point is, what does this ditch do?
That ditch isn't going to do squat. I mean, at a moderate flood, it'll look pretty and everything. But you get a big flood, I mean, it's gone.
Right. But if your definition of big flood is it was crossing the interstate before,
it would keep water.
Now it's the same.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to hold it here and shoot it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
in the conference.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, this room. No, I got a mess that I don't want to deal
well,
with.
Well, I think you brought a really valid concern. I hope you feel like we had the full conversation, even if it didn't end up maybe where you were hoping it was going to end up. But now we'll dig in and see what, if anything, we can do on this ditch to hopefully improve things for the 200 acres. Sell that to DOT. Hopefully these properties aren't going to be impacted. We really don't have anything to say about any of these properties. We'll dig in and see what we can do to help with this property. And we'll just find what we find.
Yeah, one of the engineers that I did talk with about this that's had enough experience, the DOT is only interested in what's going to impact them and so forth, And I can say, this is going to be what it is. I'm screwed over here, as far as our tenants are concerned.
Before you feel completely screwed, let's see if there's anything we can do along this ditch. If it's not at original specifications or if there's an easy way to level everything out, let's see what we can do, and maybe that would help the situation.
Yeah, I mean, if this can, I don't want to use the word get built up, return the original height at the highest point all along here, that could be potentially negotiated in with the deal with the DOT. Say, this is what we would agree to. They're going to have to put all this dirt and stuff someplace. They're going to have excess dirt here.
Sure.
This could, I don't know if it needs any dredging, but
well, I think as an individual citizen that the DOT wants to make a deal with, I think you're empowered to do a lot of things. What we've got to watch out for is any impact on this ditch. And you've got to watch out for what you do in a floodplain.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're to the end, I'd take a motion to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. Good job.
Call over at
10:30.
Yep.
So
you're all in your house, huh?
Not all. Yeah. Movers come Wednesday, but I got most of my.
Do I have this one, or is that
this one?
Maybe not.
Do you have bring that?
It's not mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It's ours. They're yours.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Well, here.